So thankful to be with you. If you have your scriptures, we're in Psalm chapter 130. We're on the Psalm of Ascent, if you remember. We're traveling upward to Jerusalem where Jesus is and his presence, and we're onward and upward. And so we are traveling through Psalm 120 to 134. We're almost there. We almost have made it to the top. And so if you're getting tired of this series, just hang on. We'll make it. So glad you are here. I don't know if you all have ever been to an escape room. Has anybody been to an escape room and actually done it? Oh man, an escape room. If you don't know what it is a like kind of like a game. But basically, you're given a theme and you're with a group of people and you're put in one room and you have to put all the clues together and then you're given a key. Like once you put your clues together, it opens the next door to the next room, and you keep going from door to door to door. Well, I guess a couple of years back, someone convinced Aaron and I to go and do it. And let me just say this, I do not like escape rooms because you are put in a room, and they basically say if one of you decides that like you can't take it anymore and you're panicking, then the whole experience is over. And this thing's not cheap to do, you know? And I'm like, listen, guys, I don't like tight spaces. I get a little claustrophobic. I may quit in the middle of this thing. I can't promise you I'll finish it out, you know? And so we go, there's eight of us, we go for someone's birthday. I don't know why you'd want that as a birthday gift, but we did. And we get in the first room, it's like a World War II theme, and you're trying to defuse a nuclear bomb. And you have to go from like room to room, put all the clues together. So we get in the first room, and it took us a lot longer than I thought, but we put the clues together, and then we kind of put the key in, and it opens this door to another room. And the second room was like, literally the size of our elevator had all these levers up here, and there's eight of us that have to pack into somewhere the size of the elevator. Let me say this, not fun, all right? Did not enjoy getting in that small little space. And then you have to like pull these levers in such a way that the door will open, and we finally do that. And then we go to the next room, and you have to put these clues together, do all this stuff, and not everybody can do the clues at once. Somebody's always kind of waiting on the side for other people to get that done. And we're just going from like one room to another, waiting for the door to open. And I got to thinking about this psalm, and I got to thinking about the theme of the psalm, and the whole theme of the psalm is waiting. That you are waiting for that next moment. It could be like you're waiting for retirement, you're waiting for, you're waiting to graduate from high school, you're waiting for a test result. But everyone in this room is, we're all waiting on something, right? We're waiting for this sermon to be over, right? To get to lunch, you know, whatever. And we're all waiting for something. We are waiting. Praise God, he gives us 9 months before a baby comes so we can wait and prepare, right? So we are all waiting for those things. And waiting is reality of where we are and the desire where we want to be. Where we are and where we want to be. It's in the in-between. It's not if we are going to wait, but it is that we all are waiting. We're waiting on something. But if we wait well, if we wait in Christ, it will birth fruit in our lives. If we wait well, it will birth fruit in our lives. Rich Velotta had this quote. I love it. He said, "What God does in us as we wait is often much more important than what we're waiting on." I want to read that again. I love this quote. "What God does in us as we wait is often much more important than what we are waiting on." If you remember, we'll read Psalm 130 in a minute, but Israel had waited for years and years to be freed, 400 years actually, and then once they got freed, they went to the wilderness and they were there for 40 years. And they began to wonder, like, God, can you hear us? God, do you know what's going on? They actually got angry with God. They pushed back at Moses as their leader, and they wondered, God, are you going to come through? In our waiting, are you actually going to come through? Are you actually doing something? Have you ever wondered that while you wait? Are you really doing something, Lord? Are you there? Do you hear me? The Psalm of Ascent that we read is not just about taking a journey, but it's about flourishing in a journey with Christ. It's about growing in Him. And those who were traveling up to Jerusalem, they desired so much to be with the Lord. And this Psalm of Ascent, as we read this, it should grow and deepen our desire to be with Him in His presence. And so as we wait, God plants seed in the soil of our lives which bear fruit if we would let him. So let's look at Psalm 130 really quickly. Watch is something we would carry with us in our journey to remind us that as we wait, God is doing something in us. He is doing something in our hearts, and we can wait well. Look at Psalm 130. O Lord, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, life. He is drawn to this. We have to allow him to do it. The psalmist doesn't cover up his suffering here. He prays about it. So I want to challenge you that if you don't understand something going on in your life while you wait, if you're frustrated by it, pray. And don't just pray, but pour your heart out in honesty to God. Look at verses 3 and 4. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness so that we, with reverence, can serve you. The second way that we wait well, the psalmist teaches us, is that we are acknowledging God's forgiveness in our life. It says, who could stand without you? It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek, like no one could stand without you, Lord. And this is a reminder that we are placing God, when we acknowledge his forgiveness in our life and what he's done for us in our waiting, we are placing it in the center of our lives, that no one else can do what he has done. Zero people, not your mom, not your dad, not anyone could do what Christ has done, what God has done for you. Ephesians 1:7, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. When we wait, sometimes, again, we get anxious, we can get bitter, we can get all of those things, but as Christ followers, we can always look back and acknowledge that God has forgiven us through his son Jesus. And that gives us deep encouragement to continue to wait well. When we wait for a long time, there's some questions that often come up. I don't know if you've ever been there. Like, I've waited for all, like, when I was getting into ministry, I filled out like 30 job applications, didn't get one call back. I've shared that before, you know. It's crazy. I still haven't got a call back. It's crazy. When we wait, especially for a long time, we can come up with these things like, it's me, I've done so many things wrong, I'm never going to get blessed, I haven't read or prayed or been quote-unquote Christian enough for God to really speak to me or any of those kind of things, share with me what's next, or God, are you angry with me? Are you just playing games with me while we wait? Maybe I should do a ton of good deeds so I get the attention of God. But when we wait well and acknowledge God's forgiveness, we know that God is not angry with us, nor do we need to earn a hearing with him or any of those things. We don't have to earn his love. We don't have to worry or hurry in our life, that he gives it to us freely. And it puts our hearts at rest. So if you are in a place where you're waiting on something, could be a test result, and you're just getting anxious, maybe even bitter at God, I would challenge you to go and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life and how he's covered you, and see how it would quiet your soul and bring you peace. It reminds us, as the psalmist writes, is that he cast our sin as far as the east is from the west, so that we can worship him in reverence. We can worship him as the person, as the God who is at the center of our lives. So we honestly pray to God. We acknowledge God's forgiveness. And thirdly, look at verse 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning, more than a watchman waits for the morning. Thirdly, we watch patiently for the Lord. We honestly pray, we acknowledge his forgiveness, and we watch patiently. The watchman here, if you get a picture, let's just say he's on the center wall. They built walls a lot of times in the around the town, so they could look out and see if anyone was coming. They would be at the highest point. And of course, night would come, and they couldn't see anything. But they were looking out in the night for any type of movement that might be happening, whether that's like a pack of wild dogs or a massive army. So they could yell at the other people to get the army ready or to protect the land that was around them. And so you can imagine, if you're a watchman, aren't you longing for a little bit of daylight? Just a little bit to peek over the hill so that you can see just barely, that he longs for it and waits for it. And as he sits in that seat and looks out, he is longing and waiting, and he is looking for any sign of light, any sign of movement. This is a reminder that even in our darkest moment, that God is still at work. Even when we seem like we're peering into the darkness, he is still working and moving. And a lot of times while we wait, it feels so dark. It feels lonely at times even. But as the watchman waits and looks into the night, there are still things happening. I'm not a gardener. I always till up the ground and all that, and the kids and Aaron are the green thumb in the family. I'd probably kill it. But they would always plant the seeds. And I remember talking to a good friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine named Bob Butler. Bob used to plant a garden every year, and he said, "John, when I was a kid, my dad and I would go out to the garden, and we would plant, of course, all the seeds at the same time." And he said, as a kid, I could never understand why we didn't have fruit all at the same time. Like, why didn't the tomatoes grow? Why didn't the squash all produce fruit at the same time? And you know, his dad taught him that, you know, these, what happens in the dirt, in the dark, different things are happening for different plants at different times, and you reap fruit in different seasons. But what's happening in that ground, what's happening, what you can't see, is the important part, is that it's being nurtured, it's being grown in the dark. It's pulling in all the water it can so it can raise up toward the sun. And it's, that is so important for us as we are waiting and we're watching patiently, that we are hiding ourselves in the Lord so that the soil of our lives are ready when God plants the seed, so it would grow in us. The inner work is happening oftentimes without us knowing it. So we got to be watchful. We got to be watchful for the Lord. Watch what he's doing. Watch the people that he would bring in our life. Watch for him in the scripture and in our prayer. This is very much the opposite of what other people would focus on during that time. A lot of them would be watching patiently for what kings would do, or what Israel's own people would do, or what other gods would do. But we watch patiently while we wait for the Lord. We watch for him. And knowing what is happening in the dark is doing something. Go back to the quote from the very beginning. Let me read that again. What God does in us as we wait is often much more important than what we're waiting on. So we wait patiently, we watch patiently, we acknowledge God's forgiveness, and we honestly pray. And then finally, look at verses 7 and 8. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. A lot of commentaries and different things dealt with verse 7 and 8 as an announcement. Announcement of God's love. He's announcing it to Israel, of course, but in turn, he's announcing it to himself. I know this in raising kids and just watching kids that I've been around, even on the football team, different things, but your kids become who you tell them they are. You know, does that make sense? If I told my son or daughter that they aren't very smart, there's a chance they probably will turn out that way. You become who you remind yourself you are, oftentimes. And this is an announcement here of announcing God's love. Even in the waiting, the psalmist is announcing to himself that, what is he saying to him? He's saying, for with the Lord is unfailing love and full redemption. He is announcing God's love. He's announcing God's redemption, knowing that he is the one who redeems us from our sin. It is so important for us that while we wait, whatever that is, that we are announcing Romans 8:38, that nothing can separate us from God's love. Zephaniah 3:17, that he sings over us with his love. He quiets us with his love. We're announcing that to ourselves while we wait. We're honestly praying. We're acknowledging God's forgiveness. We are watching patiently for God to do his work. And we are announcing to ourselves that God loves us. No matter how frustrated we are with him, that he hasn't answered us, or maybe that we haven't got the answer we want, or we're having to wait longer than we want, he loves us and he's for us. And that takes us, like, sometimes looking ourselves in the mirror and announcing, God loves you. Sometimes it takes us just reading scripture aloud to remind ourselves that we are loved. So I would challenge you, as you wait in the Chick-fil-A line, as you wait for your test result or whatever that might be, that you announce God's love and remind yourself that he alone is the one who can forgive your sin. Now, I want to caution you just on two things before I close in your waiting. When we wait for a long time, we often can bypass the Lord and take hold of things ourselves, like make our own plan, control things, and I've done it plenty of times. But this is not foreign to the people of Israel. In Exodus 32, there's this story about Moses. I don't know if you remember it, but he goes up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and he kept going up and down the mountain without any answer. And finally, he went up the mountain for a long time to meet with God, and he hadn't come back down. And what do the people of Israel say? They're like, man, he hasn't come down yet. Like, Aaron, his brother, like, hey, look, since he hadn't come down, we're waiting way too long, let's take matters into our own hands. So what do? They take all the gold that they have, and they melt it down, and they make what? A golden calf. And they begin to worship it. And they build this, in the moment of waiting, right, they're waiting actually for God's law to come down to help the people understand how to live in God's command, how to live in relationship with him. As they're waiting, they take matters in their own hands and they make this idol and take hold of it. I want to caution you that while you wait, don't take hold of the temporary pleasures of this world. I want to caution you, don't grab on to an idol of power. Don't grab on to the idols of money, but seek the eternal love of Christ Jesus in your waiting. It's easy for us to trust our own power in our waiting. And we can cling to those things. And sometimes we have the feeling of an answer. And honestly, sometimes those are really good answers in waiting. We can make our own way. That's the truth. It's not like we're not going to make our way in our waiting. But don't you want what's best for your life? Don't you want that in your waiting? Don't you want what's best? You want the best fruit in your waiting? That comes from us focusing our hearts and our mind and our soul and placing Christ in the center. Isaiah 40:31, you've probably heard it. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not grow faint. I want a life like that while I'm waiting, where I don't faint, I'm not weary. But in order for that to happen, we must trust in the Lord. It comes from our honest prayer. It comes from acknowledging the forgiveness of God in Christ. It comes from us watching patiently for God to work in our life, even in the dark moments, and then announcing that God loves us very, very deeply. When I was writing this sermon and thinking about it, last night I went through it, and I got to thinking, how does it hit home here at New Life Church? Because he's talking to himself, kind of, not in a crazy way, but like he's definitely announcing all this to himself, but he's also announcing it to a community of people. So, like, what does it mean for us here at New Life, the people of New Life? And I got to thinking, what are we waiting on? And I think personally, what am I waiting on? And I'm waiting often on, like, the church to grow. Like, I want this place to grow. I want the pews, of course, to be full. I want hearts to be changed. I want all of those things. And we should all have a desire to see that happen. And as I was, like, sitting and reading about that, I think most people in this room would say they want the same thing. But waiting is hard. Waiting for that to happen here is hard oftentimes. And sometimes it feels really dark. Like, is it going to happen? Is it, how long do we have to wait, oh Lord? And the Lord pushes me back and he's like, pray to me honestly while you wait, New Life Church. Acknowledge the forgiveness that I've offered you. Watch for me patiently in the ministries of the church. Acknowledge and announce the love of God. Just keep doing that. Be faithful and watch for me. Watch patiently as you wait. And so I want it to be a challenge to you and our church as well that God is doing a good work in our waiting. He really is. So what is it you're waiting on? How are you waiting? Is it in anxiousness? Is it in bitterness toward the Lord or to others? I encourage you to pray to him, to rest and to watch and to announce his love for you as you wait. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, help us to wait well. Lord, help us to acknowledge you even when we get frustrated that we don't have an answer. Whether that's our health or whether it's waiting to go to college or whatever it might be, Lord, may we be honest with you in our hearts. And Lord, for this place at New Life, there's times that I don't wait well. I want to take things into my own hands, and I want to make things happen. God, help us not to grab hold of the temporary pleasures of this world, Lord, but to seek you. Lord, help us individually to wait well, Lord, and to acknowledge you in every place in our lives. Lord, we just love you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, amen. You guys can